All right. Hey, everybody. This is Eric here with our Get Fit Lakeville podcast. And I've got one of my team members here, Ryan Moore, who's just a whiz at strength and conditioning, likes to work with a lot of athletes, especially high school and college athletes. And I got him to pick his brain a little bit today and just give us some insight. We're kind of changing gears from last week's emotional eating podcast. But so, Ryan, how did you first get involved in strength and conditioning? What made you want to work with athletes?
So I started volunteering my sophomore year of college at Jefferson High School in Bloomington, Minnesota. Actually, just volunteering in the weight room itself, that yet to have a strength and conditioning program. So I would go there after football practices, which I also coached at the time, and just voluntarily train kids that wanted to be a part of a strength training program. Had maybe two, three, five kids at a time at the most. So I started doing that in evenings on my own time, just experimenting with the things that I had learned that early part of my career, and had been then asked on as the University of Minnesota came on and started a program there with a GA, an official strength and conditioning program. I was asked to be an assistant on that staff, which I took the opportunity to do as I was going to school full time for kinesiology. And then getting my hands on basically any area I could get into, putting the hours in, practicing what I was learning, and just trying to be putting in the application as much as possible. So that's kind of where I started, and then branched out into internships that were presented to me. I got the opportunity to work at Velocity Sports Performance, different gyms at the time for just general fitness training. But really, I always was wanting to be a part of athletics. The primary goal of my career path has been to stay 90% to 100% training with just athletes. And so I worked with Velocity Sports Performance, which led me into working with a guy named Bill Welly, who had a company called Welly Fast. He was the supervising trainer at the time of performance at Velocity. He had a company of his own, such similar to what I do now, but he was training professional athletes, primarily in the NFL. He was known and still is known for training Larry Fitzgerald, the wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals, who was from Minnesota. Since he was about 15 years old, he's trained him. And so I was asked to help with that. I got to work with some professionals. That was probably the highlight of my career at the time, getting to see how that worked and how that went about and be a part of it. And then my training grew through Jefferson High School. I was there for over 10 years as a strength coach. And then an opportunity presented itself to be the head strength coach at Apple Valley High School. But a little before that, I had started my own business, primarily training athletes as well, and just branching out, training people at the same time in general population, but still making my primary goal to continue to focus on helping athletes of any sport, any age, any level, and just enhancing their ability to perform better on the field or whatever sport they play, as well as just their human movement, to be the main focus on priming it to the best ability I could. But yeah, so I started volunteering at a high school level. I've worked my way up to where I've had opportunity with professionals, collegiate athletes, still work with youth athletes, and have worked myself into the head strength coach at the Apple Valley High School. Still working forward to going forth into higher levels at some point if that presents itself, but just making the most of the opportunities presented to me at the time as they come.
Awesome. You know, and it is pretty cool looking at your resume, and even the fact that you mentioned that you, I watch you test drive a lot of your stuff on yourself. Your workouts are pretty intense to watch, and, you know, you practice what you preach. When you look at, you know, a lot of high schools have programs, and not all of them are fortunate enough like Apple Valley to have strength coaches, and you look at some of the training programs out there, what are some of the, you know, maybe two or three of the biggest mistakes that you see athletes doing, and that's probably maybe not as hurting them more than helping them?
Biggest flaws, and there's a lot obviously nowadays in this industry. Number one, I guess, these rankings aren't in priority, but number one that comes to the top of my mind is poorly coached weight rooms or performance enhancement settings. Just putting a workout on the board and telling kids to go after it, I feel like is a big flaw, because cookie cutter workouts are typically not the way to go. A lot of athletes look at a workout by who's doing it and that's typically a big error, is an athlete sees a professional athlete doing this workout, then it gets posted on a website and a coach picks it up, or an athlete picks it up and thinks, if I do this, it's going to turn me into this person, which is the biggest flaw. So having workouts not coached correctly, not understanding how to make athletes better movers instead of turning them into robots with drills that an athlete or a coach may have done in their lifespan, and then applying it just because it may or may not have worked for them, but they did it. So not looking at the athletes as individuals, which can be hard to do in a setting like a school. So finding a way, which is what we try to do at Apple Valley, is try to find a way where we can cater to each athlete's needs, but as a group. So finding weaknesses and strengths in each athlete, saying, how can I build off these strengths? How can I fix these weaknesses? But again, just not putting up a workout and telling kids to go after it. One, because it's a higher percentage of chance in getting hurt, number one. Number two, are you seeing the athletes continue to get better? Another thing that leads me into is another error in schools is not testing to make sure kids are getting better. A lot of coaches out here you'll see will promote themselves as being great at what they do, but then they never prove the results by testing to make sure kids are getting better. That's one thing we do at the schools. We test something new every week, probably a couple things a week, and not guaranteeing that you're going to get better every week, but at least you do see results over time. I tell kids, if you look at a graph, a bullet point graph, it's in life or in, especially in our setting of strength and conditioning, it's going to go up and down. There's going to be downs, there's going to be ups, and you just have to continue to enjoy the process. I feel like a lot of kids nowadays and a lot of coaches get caught up in going after the highlight reel and forget the process that gets them there in the first place is what it's all about. The end result will come if you're doing those little things day after day and staying consistent as possible. But yeah, again, just being poorly coached by the coaches by just doing the same drills over and over, losing that creative ability that we have in this field to help kids move more efficiently and stop turning them into robots. And then again, just making sure you're paying attention to the athlete and listen to feedback. Don't just tell kids to do what you say. To do what you say because you say to do it, but are they getting better? Do they feel better from it? Really communicating with their athletes is the biggest thing, because the whole point of being there in the first place is to make them feel better and make them perform better. And if you're just out there trying to make a name for yourself or saying, do what I say because I say it, I feel like you're going to lose athletes, number one. And number two, you're not going to get the optimal results that you could if you were more communicative with your athletes and within your program.
Awesome. So, you know, you had a lot to say there. What should athletes mean? I know we talked about one of the things was, you know, that maxes back when I was growing up was max lifts, and, you know, how much you could lift was really emphasized. And you talk like, you know, one of the things you really brought in is like, you know, it doesn't matter if you max out and grind it out. It's about being able to move the weight fast and just some things that you think that athletes should focus on for a better transfer effect into their sport.
So again, back people get caught up in these highlight reels and wanting to post stuff, especially with social media nowadays. Max lifts have their place. Again, unless your body will adapt to literally anything you do, that's what your body is designed to do. So working against a high level of stress is a good thing. People like to use maxes as that high level of stress just because it is a popular thing to do. It looks cool, but there's so many different ways you can stress the body. Really what this field comes down to now is how can I stress my athlete optimally, create what's called super compensation, and then back off so the body can recover. And then how can we nowadays do that in waves where we can continuously do that almost without ever having to deload? And a way that we can do that is with what we call the theory of accommodation and finding ways to never allow the body to accommodate to what we're doing, but at the same time forcing it to continuously adapt to a high level of stress, whatever that stress may be. So the way we do that, now I've stolen from great coaches like Cal Dietz at the University of Minnesota, Louis Simmons at Westside Barbell, just so many great coaches I've stolen things from and applied to our system. But thinking, how can we do this in our system and keep it safe at the same time? And a way to do that is just simply, to break it down as simply as possible, is what we do is we alternate the max lifts each week. Not necessarily going to max out each week, but we're doing a different big lift each week, trying to push the threshold of which that lift is taken to, whether it's a 1 rep max, whether it's a 5 rep max, whatever it may be. Number one, making sure the athlete can hit the lift successfully, and number two, making sure that they are safe when doing so. So we build them up to these lifts. We never just throw them under a bar and say, do this, but we start from scratch. Literally, I had a kid for 9 weeks, never touched the barbell. I stressed him with long and 10-minute bear crawls where he never stopped. Lots of push-ups, weight on his back. Just really simple things that were safe to do. And then we tested his bench press 9 weeks later, and he bench pressed 245 pounds without ever touching a bar for 9 weeks. So that just shows you my point being, you can stress the body safely with different areas of exercise selection and not really having to grind in the barbell. Barbell is a great and fun thing to do, but there's a time and a place for it. And some athletes really don't necessarily have to ever touch one, but it does allow you to put the most stress in the sense of how much weight can they handle on their body. But again, it's just where to use that. Does it fit? Is it necessary? And what are the positives? And what are the risk factors you're taking to go after those positives?
So when a new athlete comes in with you, what do you typically do to, what type of assessments do you do? How do you get them started? And just kind of give us a real quick, you know, like, you know, you got a kid that comes in, it might be a middle school, high school kid, and parents send him in to train. What would you do first with them?
First, it's going to depend very much so on the athlete itself. And so I like to talk to them, ask them what their goals are being here, find out from their point of view what they think their weaknesses are, their strengths are. I then will ask them to do a variety of movements, whether it be with barbells, whether it be just athletic positioning movements. And then I look at them and just use my experience of what looks like they can handle as far as movement abilities, as far as barbell work, not barbell work, whatever it is in the exercise selection I asked of them. But I just try to get them moving for me in different ways, and I try to challenge them, find their weaknesses and find their strengths in a short period of time, say if it's that first session. And I just ask upon them to let me know again, what is their whole point for being here? Is it to get stronger? If that's the point for them to be here, then we focus on how well can they handle movements with weight. If it's to be faster or move and change the direction quickly or more smoothly, then I put them in an environment where I watch them do that and say, hey, are they someone who needs to master a movement? Are they someone who could use strength to get better? Typically, it's all the above with an athlete. It also depends on their lifespan of being in the weight room. How long have they trained for? How much have they participated in a variety of sports? A lot of times kids nowadays focus on one area of sports, and that kills their toolbox of athletic movement because they're focused in one area of movement so much of the time. They've lost this ability to naturally just problem solve on the field of play. So I like to do a lot of variety of things that forces them to think in the weight room, even with the warm-up, playing some type of game, getting it moving correctly, not your old fashion walk in a straight line. Do a variety of exercise selection movements, but let's get you moving, let's have fun, let's stimulate your nervous system, and let's also figure out what you're lacking in the sense of tools on how to move and how to problem solve in the environment of training. And then again, we go into strength training, safety. I build them from the ground up, from body weight squats to goblet squats to maybe I introduce them to a bar, to push-ups, to crawling on the floor, but just finding ways to get them back to that baseline of human movement and master human movement as much as possible. And there's a continuous timeline. There's never a finish line for athletes, in my opinion, or humans for that matter, on where they get to. It's where are we starting from, and then where can we take you from that starting point in a progressive timeline. And then with athletes as well, when does their season start? Where are they at in their season? If they come in during the season, where do we need to plan on progressing from and to? Because again, we can only handle so much stress during a season. When we're out of season, if we're in a pure out of season mode where nothing else is going on, the body can obviously handle more stress. So it always comes back to me, how can I manage your stress level from a coaching standpoint, and how can I keep you primed up for each workout? Because if I trash you every single workout, you're obviously not going to perform at a high level on the next workout.
Awesome stuff today. I would agree, like the whole thing with the one sports is causing a lot of problems with kids and the athletes in general in their bodies, just focusing on one sport. So I like that. I love that philosophy. So if somebody wanted to reach out to you, and you know, maybe you're a parent and you have an athlete, or maybe you're a college athlete and you're looking for just a fresh set of eyes, how does somebody why don't you give us your, and I'll put this in the notes too, put it, just give us your Instagram, your email, your website, all that stuff, so we can, so people here that are listening to this that like what you have to say can look you up.
Yeah, so there's a lot more obviously than we've covered today, just the very basics, if that, we probably tapped into, but my email, ryan@morept.com, is always a great way to get a hold of me, and then my Instagram is morept. So anytime you want to reach out, just DM me there, email me. Feel free to leave yourself. I can text or call anytime or email you back, whatever works best for you. And just the more detail you can give me on what you're looking for, the better off we're going to be able to communicate with one another.
All right, Ryan, well, we thank you for your time today and sharing your expertise with us. Hopefully this will help maybe some upcoming athletes get you to work with them, because I've seen what you've done here and done some amazing things with the kids that work out here in our facility.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me, and I hope we can get some more depth next time.